A few weeks ago, I was talking about the church and the call from God that we are the church and what that would really mean. We talked about being the ecclesia, and Steve was pressing about the ecclesia, the called out, that we were called out of the world and called into something for God's sake and for the world's sake and for our own sake. And Peter presses that in 1 Peter 2. He says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you did not have mercy, or you did not receive mercy, but now you have received mercy." And his press and his calling to us was that we belong to him. That we belong to him. That we are his. The church is his. It's not ours. It's his. And yet you are. We are ours. Paul says that each one of us belong to one another. This thing is a really, really big deal. It's a huge deal. And so in pressing through that, I was talking about some characteristics that really mattered when you look at the church and what it was about. And so we talked about humility and submission and service, and about that this was Jesus' go-to characteristics. This was him. It's who he was. If you cut him, that's what he bled. It wasn't about the power hungry. I made a comment, a statement. I said, I think we have a very distorted view of leadership in the church today. Jesus wasn't power high or leadership drunk. He wasn't in leadership lust with God. He just let it go. And he humbled himself and served others. And so in thinking of these things, today I wanted to press a little bit with humility for us, for me, what it would mean if we were to embrace this humility that God has called us to. And then I thought, well, what better person to tell you about humility? Because I'm really good at it. So I started making a list in my head. I was thinking, okay, I could come up with 5 or 10 or 20 reasons why I'm so good at humility. I'm one of the most humble people I know. I mean, I'm always just giving things away for others, bowing down, stooping down, helping out. But I didn't know if that would go over very well with all of you, because that could be very offensive if I started telling you how much better I was at humility than you, and I'm thinking I could lead you in being humble, so I thought I'd do it a different way, okay? But I couldn't think of a way to do that, because it still seems pretty abrasive, you know, if we start wrestling with humility, and I need to get that across to you. And then after a couple of weeks, though, it took a couple of weeks. After a couple of weeks, I realized I'm really not that humble. It takes me a while. I'm a little slow at coming around. So I realized I'm not really that humble. So then why even mess with it at all? So I decided to come up with 5 reasons why we don't want to be humble. Why humility is terrible and we don't want anything to do with it. But in wrestling with that, I started making lists of why humility is bad, and then I came up with 10. And I'm thinking, well, this would be really good because we need to know a lot of reasons why this wouldn't be good. But then I want to express my individualism, and so I came up with 11. I don't want to be like everybody else. And everybody comes up with 5 or 10 or 12. So I came up with 11. 11 reasons why you don't want to be humble. 11 reasons why you don't want to go that route. Okay, so number one, if I'm going to work on being humble, then there goes a really great book title. Because I want to write a book. So a really great book title would be out the door. The one that, you know, that was titled Humility and My Path to Achieving It. So, I mean, if I'm going to be humble, I mean, yeah, so we don't want to be humble. The second one, I lose access to a whole t-shirt line. If you can't come in first, then make the winner break the record. I mean, I can't wear those kind of shirts. Nike, just do it, because I just do it. So then I lose access to all kinds of great t-shirts. Humility takes time and practice. Lots of time and practice, which takes away from your self-promotion tour. I mean, I can't be spending time working on making myself look really good if I'm going to be trying to, you know, work on humility. If I don't tell you how good I am and how smart I am and how brave I am and beautiful, then then how are you ever going to know? I mean, look at this. And you guys aren't bragging about me. It would destroy my "if I got it, flaunt it" motto. You know, I mean, if I stopped, you know where that goes. If I stopped wearing the dresses, the clothes, and the stuff, then I'd have to stop shopping at the hip and trendy, and then I wouldn't be able to wear, so I'd have to wear something that's not so it'd mess up my "if you got it, mon it, flaunt it, want it" motto. That's easy for you guys to say, by the way. You guys still with me? There's still more of these. I worked hard on these, okay? Smile or do something. Man, you guys are tough. You would have to change your country music theme song. It's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. And don't think I'm promoting country music, because I'm not. You have unrealized potential. I do. I have unrealized potential for bragging and smart talking. And if I don't use it, I'm going to lose it. If you go last at the fellowship dinner, someone else will get the last piece of barbecue chicken, and we can't have that. It may mean washing somebody else's feet, and I ain't touching that, man. I smell some of your feet with your shoes on and shoes tied, and that ain't good. If you serve, you guys are just laughing because I just now say, hey, you guys aren't laughing, and these are funny, and I worked hard on them. If you serve others, they may get the idea that you like it. You like that kind of stuff. Or that you're even good at it. And they might actually ask you to start helping them. And man, we don't want any part of that, right? 11 reasons to be humble. Now, if you're counting or if you fell asleep along the way, okay? But man, I worked hard on those. You guys are just ever going, eh, whatever. What if I told you that the greatest life, the life you've always dreamed of, was there for your grasping? What if I told you that it wasn't what you thought it was? The way of getting there isn't how you get there. And what if I told you that in order to get it, you have to step down instead of stepping up? You have to lift others instead of yourself. And what if I told you there's a promise in Scripture? This sounds like ESPN's 30 for 30, doesn't it? What if I told you? What if I told you there's a promise in Scripture dealing with this very truth? There's a promise in Scripture dealing with this very truth. James chapter 4, verse 16, but he gives us more grace. He's talking about what's going on before, but he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. 1 Peter. Peter talks about the same thing. In the same way, you who are young, submit yourselves to the elders. He's talking about the way that the church, the body works. He says, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. There's a preacher, an associate minister, walking around working in the church one day. Their names aren't Steve and Jamie. Don't go anywhere with that. I might be making this up off the cuff. And the associate minister walked into the sanctuary after the service, and it was a really good service, and he just threw himself down on the floor. He's feeling moved, and he's like, God, thank you so much. You are everything. I am nothing. And the preacher walks through, and he sees him just kind of in the distance there, walking by the auditorium, and he's compelled, and he's moved, and he throws himself down on the floor, and he says, Lord, I am nothing. And then one of the deacons saw them, and as the preacher and the associate minister were walking back to the office, one of the deacons was moved, and he threw himself on the floor and said, Lord, I am nothing, to which the associate minister said to the preacher, well, look who thinks he's nothing. It's a play on words. Look who thinks he's something. Look who thinks, do I have to make the point of it to find a point? Okay, anyway, look that up. Tell me in the back. That was a great joke. We have difficulty really, really humbling ourselves. Man, it is painful for me. It's as painful as telling that joke. Being humble, letting go, not hanging on to things, not lifting myself up. But it's not just that He makes the promise, but in the scripture, God actually shows us the promise fulfilled. That was our scripture reading. It's not only that he says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. He actually shows us that promise fulfilled. If you want to turn to Philippians chapter 2, we'll read the scripture reading. Spencer, you did a wonderful job on that. Philippians 2, 1 through 11. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. There's the lifting up others. And here's where you see the promise fulfilled. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being the very nature, in very nature, God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, the humbling, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Sounds awesome, doesn't it? But it's really, really difficult. And I think Switchfoot captured in one of their songs called War Inside, I think they captured why it's so difficult. At the right after the first chorus, the second verse starts off with just this kind of chatter. He says, I've got the feeling that we're living in sci-fi. I've got the feeling that our weapons are lo-fi. There ain't no killer like pride, no killer like I, no killer like what's inside. It's in the air we breathe. It's in the blood we bleed. And what he's saying is this I, this selfishness, is so deeply rooted in us. We are so it that it would take something great to change us. And then it's the very definition of humility that we struggle with as well, because we've come to liken it in our culture as becoming a doormat or becoming just some sappy, painful, nothing person that's always going around going, I'm nothing. It's like a leper, man, in the old days. Unclean, unclean, nothing, nothing, I'm nothing. Look who thinks he's nothing. That's still funny, even now. Sorry. Gotcha. I got some more for you later, Don. Thanks. But it's difficult. It's really difficult for me and for us to go through moments like this, to let ourselves go, when we think that letting ourselves go or being nothing means I have to be humiliated, to be humble, to be nothing, that there's nothing of value, nothing of worth. And it's just the opposite. There's incredible worth and incredible value. It's just instead of you promoting you, you promote others. Instead of lifting up you, it really means in Greek, the lifting up of others, not yourself. It just means to lift up someone else. And C.S. Lewis captured that thought very well when he said, true humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. True humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. I mean, come on, God made this. There's something incredible about you. But it's okay if someone gets the last biscuit before you get it at the fellowship dinner. It's okay if you go last. It's okay. It's okay if I don't get that. It's all. Man, we're going to eat, aren't we? We're going to be all right. It'll be okay if it goes unnoticed. Jesus wrestles with this with James and John in Mark 10, 35 through 45. 10 verses here. Hang with me. Then James and John, the son of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. And they replied, let one of us sit at your right hand and the other sit at your left in your glory. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup? Can you drink the cup I drink, or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? We can, they answered. And Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. That's hard to say well. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. Then when the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them, and not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. What Jesus is telling us is, if you're a Christian, if you've been born again, it's been born into your DNA to be humble. It's what you're supposed to be. It should be in there. He didn't come. He even says, but even the Son of Man, even me. Not in an arrogant way, but he's like, are you kidding me? I didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give my life away. B. Meyer wrote, I used to think that God's gifts were on shelves above one another, and the taller we grow, the easier we can reach them. Now I find that God's gifts are on the shelves, one beneath the other. And the lower we stoop, the more we get. That's awesome. What I find in Scripture that I wrestle with so much is when Jesus starts talking about when you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. There's such a press from humility for humility. And it's so deeply written all through Scripture that it's so easy to read it and never see it. But he wraps it all up so well, Jesus, right from the start, in his very first address to people in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You don't get the kingdom without humility. You might be at church. You might look good in public. You might wear a name Christian. But you don't get the kingdom without humility. It's how you accept the love of God. It's how you submit yourself to immersion, not getting wet, but uniting with Jesus in baptism. It's how you surrender yourself when he says things like, therefore, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. I let it go. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I love it when we feign humility, when we say things like, man, I hear this all the time, just waiting on God, just waiting on God. Are you kidding me, man? God's waiting on you. He's waiting on you to hit your knees, to lift someone else up. And when you do, he'll reveal himself to you. He'll give himself more to you. Humility doesn't work like that. It's not talk. It's not promotion. It's not any of that. It's just simply lifting. And man, you know who you love? You love those who lift you up. Those are the ones you want to be like. You go to bed at night. I know you think about money, and I know you think about bills, and I know you think about transportation. I know you think about your kids going to college. I know you think about everything else, but I know you think about this. Man, I wish people knew they could count on me. Man, I really wish God knew he could depend on me to lift up his family. I know they wish they could come to me and I'd stop talking, start listening. They could come to me and I'd stop lording myself over with great wisdom and just start lifting them up. That's who you want to be. Isn't that who you want to be, man? Ladies, that's really who we want to be. John Wooden says in a very convicting quote, which I don't know if he knew it was going to be a quote, talent is God-given. Be humble. Fame is man-given. Be grateful. Conceit is self-given. Be careful. That's a powerful quote. It's a powerful thought. Here's what I want to leave you with this morning. You enter the kingdom through humility. You cannot get any, I can't get anywhere without humility. It's a difficult, difficult, difficult thing to grasp. And you can't well yourself into it. I was looking online trying to do a little bit of research for a joke and for stuff like that, and I came across some hilarious posts. 23 reasons how to attain humility. That's awesome. 23 reasons how I can acquire humility. It comes from God. And only comes from Him. And it comes from my heart being open to Him moving in it. But we get to practice it with one another. And so I want to encourage you. I need encouragement. I want to encourage you that I need people to breathe on me, lean on me, hope into me, pray for me, that God can get me to humility. And we all need the same thing. So we're going to pray now. We're going to offer the invitation. And if you're here and you need to respond to it, when I say amen, there'll be an elder on either side of the room. And you can come and share with him a bit. And he will encourage you about Jesus and pray for you. If you need to become a son or daughter of God today, and if you're not his, you need to become a son or daughter of his today. They'll be willing to baptize you into him as well. Let's pray. Father, thanks so much for this time. And Lord, take these words that I trust you've shared through me and encourage all of us with them. Father, I know that your word doesn't come back void. I know we've looked in your scripture today. I know we've said a few things that are kind of funny today. And I pray that all of this, you would just mix it around in our hearts, that you press us with it, that your spirit would mess with us with it, God, and you would make us more the people you want us to be. You deserve it, God. You're so awesome and so amazing and so wonderful. And we're so thankful for modeling all of this for us. And pray you draw us near to you today. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.